exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to know that you believe. To show that you believe, right? O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Wow. We remembered some of our childhood. We ought to be proud of ourselves this morning. It's good to see everyone. What a beautiful day out. So we've got some that are traveling today. We have some that are out that are sick. But you're here, and that's a plus. So it's good to see everyone. Brother Mark, what do you have for us this morning?
Happy day. Happy day. Thank you all for being here. And happy Memorial Day to you. And appreciate you being here with us today. Hopefully this will be a blessing to you. Let's get right into our prayer updates. I'm going to read these off. We've got quite a few this morning. So if I mess something up, wave your hand, whoever wrote it down, and correct it. So I want to get it right, okay? Y'all good with that? All right. By the way, Hebrews chapter 5, if you want to look there, we'll grab a little nugget. But listen to the prayer requests here. Make sure I get these correct, because I'm deciphering the hieroglyphics that you guys wrote. So I want to get this correct, though. All right, starting off, Kathy Nelson. So that's all we have. Kathy needs prayer. Is that good? Okay. Next, Debbie Rogers. This is Dan's sister. Dan's sister. And she's got pneumonia. She's got quite a list of things here, so listen to this now. Pneumonia, and I've had that a couple of times. I know that's not fun. Enlarged heart, swollen liver, sepsis, plus more. She's been removed from a ventilator. So this is pretty bad, right, Brother Dan? Okay. So her daughter and husband have some decisions to make. I want to tell you, we've talked about things like heart disease and cancer and things that either I've been through or my family's been through, and I understand, but having to make these kind of end-of-life decisions, I have never personally really experienced that. That has never been a part of my life before. Some of you probably have. Those of you who have, you know better how to pray for Dan's his brother-in-law and niece, I guess, if I got that right. So those of you who have had to make those decisions, this is your prayer request for this week, all right? So you know much better how to pray. All of us can pray, but you've been there before, so you understand what they are going through, all right? So let's remember Debbie Rogers. All right, next, Ethan has an upcoming job interview, all right? So we'll pray for Ethan. Next is that Macon Barden? Did I read that right? Did I say that correctly? Not sure who wrote that one down. All right. Donna Pruitt with cancer. They just found out, I think, last week. So Donna has cancer, so we want to remember her. Bob Smith has, is that Thursday cardio version? Is that right? Did I read that right? Okay. And that's on Thursday, right? Okay. And that's called cardio version? Did I say that right? Okay. All right. Bobby Briggs driving to California. Oh, man. Bobby? Is Bobby here? I thought I saw you. Driving to California. Are you going by yourself? Okay. All right. Good. You taking a big jar of coffee? All right, but so Bobby driving to California, long haul. Just curious, anybody ever driven across the country like that? Yes, yes. Oh, a bunch of you. Okay, all right, good. So, and lastly, we have a praise. Praise is always in order, right? Right, friends. Praise. Matt Renfro had triple bypass. It went well, and he's at home healing. Nice to end on a praise, huh? This was some pretty heavy stuff that I read off this morning, right? So when we pray, let's remember that the one we're praying to at one time walked on the water, parted the Red Sea, and a nation went over on dry ground, not wet ground. How about healed the eyes of the blind? How about fed 5,000 with a little lunch? And we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? And we don't even have to go to the Bible. We can go to modern day and talk about the things he's done. That's the one we're praying to. This list was kind of heavy this morning. A lot of some serious things going on. Is the one we're going to pray to, is he able? Can he meet these needs? Can he help? We got to pray with faith, believing. We don't know what's going to happen, though. But we got to have faith. We got to believe. We got to have trust that he knows best. All right? Great. Right before we pray, I do not have an updated list for birthdays and anniversaries. So anybody having a birthday or anniversary this week, you got to be honest. Let's see the hands. Anybody this week, birthday or anniversary? Yes. Which one? A birthday. All right. And I see right here, we have a birthday back here. Yes. Already passed. All right, that's fine. That's good. I see another hand. A birthday. Yes, all right, good. A birthday. Any others? Yes? Birthday? Nobody's saying anniversary because you want to make sure you got that date right. Oh, wait, I see one more. One more, yes? An anniversary. When's the anniversary? Wow, he didn't even stutter. You impressed? Now you know I'm going to ask how many months. 25 months? Ah, see, I messed him up. Do the math right quick. 25, is that years? Dog years or like real years? What does it seem like? It's been a great roller coaster ride, huh? Great. All right. Absolutely. All right, let's pray and we'll move on to Hebrews chapter 5. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. It's a beautiful day because you created it. You let us be a part of it. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the time here we can be together. Now I want to pray for Brother Dan as he opens up the Bible to us here in just a moment, that we may receive enrichment from your word. The one who may have walked into this room this morning who is down about something, who's depressed, who's despondent. Maybe someone needs some guidance. They got a big decision to make. Maybe someone is here who's battling some type of a health problem or someone close to them. Maybe somebody came in here this morning who's maybe got financial problems. There could be someone here who's got problems in a relationship and it just doesn't seem to be working out. I don't know what all our needs are, but I know all of us have needs. And I know that as we think about our prayer list that I've just read out and I've called out these names, and there's many things going on here. And it was a little bit overwhelming to me just to read through this list. But we have to have faith and pray and believe and have trust that this is not overwhelming to you. We know that you can meet these needs. If you could not help these people that I've read off on this list, then we're wasting our time here praying. But Lord, I know that you can. You've given us your word. You've given us examples in the Bible. You've given us your spirit. You've given us the things that we need to have our faith and our hope and our trust in you. So as I lift up these prayer requests that we've already called out, I pray you'd be with each one as would be your will. And also the families that are involved. It's not only the one going through it, but it's also the families that have to bear this burden. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. We can give you our request. Thank you, we can give you praise. And thank you that you love us and you care about us. So once again, bless our class today. Meet the needs of whoever came in here that's got a heavy burden. Meet those needs today. And we'll give you the thanks. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, right quick, Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 7. This is another time that Jesus wept. So we looked at the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And then we looked at Jesus wept over Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was soon to be taken down to the ground. Remember, not one stone left upon another. And it happened exactly as Jesus said. In Hebrews chapter 5, we see another time Jesus wept. And it says in verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, that'll be our first talking point. Number two, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, that's our second talking point. And then here it is, number three, with strong crying and tears. Right there it is. So in verse 1, it says, who in the days of his flesh? Obviously, we know that's talking about who. Who is that talking about in that first part? Who are we talking about here? This is Jesus. And I want you to notice it says in the days of his flesh. John, the Gospel of John and the book of Genesis both start out the same way. The first verse, do you remember how does Genesis start out? Somebody tell me. Y'all know the verse. In the beginning, how does it finish? God created the heavens and the earth. Right. What about John 1:1, the Gospel of John? How does it start out? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's significant about Word in John 1? It's in uppercase. Do you remember that? Talking about Christ. It's another name of Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's how we could read that. The word in uppercase, another name for Jesus. And in verse 14 of that chapter, it says, and the Word was made what?
Flesh.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So there's his incarnation, his taking on flesh. And so Hebrews 5:7 in the verse you guys are open to, it says, who in the days of his flesh? I want us to think about that for just a moment. Christ becoming flesh. In John 1:14, it says, and the Word was made flesh. That word made in the Greek, that's the word ginomi. It occurs 678 times in the Bible, so it's a very popular word. And here's what it means. I'm going to read the definition. So, and the Word was made. The word was ginomi, flesh. It means to become, to come into existence, begin to be, to receive being. And as we read that, sometimes we might tend to think, okay, and the Word, Jesus, was made flesh. This is when Jesus came into being. He came into existence. Actually, that means that's when the flesh came into being. The flesh came into existence. Because you see, Jesus existed before this. Jesus has existed from all time. When the Bible says in the beginning, remember that? In the beginning? He was before the beginning. Whatever the beginning is, he was before that. And so when it says the Word was made flesh, it's the flesh at that point that had the beginning, not Jesus. Let me read you 1 Timothy 3:16. Because this is kind of mysterious, isn't it? How can he be forever before the beginning and yet be made flesh and walk around and look just like us, have a body just like us? It's a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the, what's the next word? Y'all know that? Mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. And there's six things listed there. Brother Dan, you could get six sermons out of each one of these. You should be taking notes. This right here is worth the price of admission today, just for you, my friend. The first one, the very first one of this list in 1 Timothy 3:16, this mystery, it says, God was, do you know what it says? Anybody know that one? It says, God was manifest in the flesh. Manifest in the flesh. That word manifest is the Greek word phanero. Let me read you exactly what it means. It's used 49 times in the Bible. It means to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. Now, let me read that again with that definition in mind. It says God was manifest in the flesh, meaning he was before unknown or invisible, or we couldn't perceive him. And now he's taken on a body of flesh so that he now becomes visible. So in Hebrews 5, when it says, who in the days of his flesh, think about that. Jesus existed as God because he was God. He is God. And yet he takes on human flesh. That's as far as we'll get today. We'll pick this up again next week and finish it out. But this, in his human flesh, in his body, he wept once again in Hebrews chapter 5. We'll finish that up again next week. Brother Dan. Amen.
Well, thank you very much. That's awesome. And I am taking notes. I have a lot to learn.
That's a month and a half worth of
I'm telling you, at least. Man, especially at the rate I go, right? No, thank the Lord for that. The other thing I was thinking of, you know, it's amazing when a spiritual truth comes out, then also there's another spiritual truth there in Genesis 1:1, where baseball is mentioned in the big inning. Have you ever wondered about that? So anybody needing some of that wisdom, there it is, and there's your excuse, all right? In the big inning. So good to see everybody. We have a few that are back that have been gone due to sickness and or recovering from an event. And so it's great to have you back. And we have some new faces this morning. Want you to know that you're welcome. And please do not let whoever is teaching be a deterrent for you to come back. Just talk with those that are here and ask them for hints and tips on how to endure. They've got probably a whole list. If anybody needs a verse sheet this morning, Brian has got copies of those. You're welcome to make yourself available. That just raise your hand. Brian will come to you. We've got several copies of those. What are the verse sheets? We have not replaced the Word of God. We've just, rather than try to speed read and speed turn, we've put them on a sheet of paper for you this morning at the request of some of our students. Again, another quirk of the teacher in this room. So this is something that we've done. Praise the Lord. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to the new covenant. And we just started this last week and did not get very far. But basically what we're learning and what we're discovering is the fact that there was a dramatic change between the Old Testament and the New Testament ministries and the ministries of the Spirit. And we see those in Old Testament prophecies of a greater ministry of the Spirit that would be coming under the New Covenant or under in the New Testament, okay? We saw that in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 25 through 27. We also read that in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Jesus commands his disciples, his apostles, to wait in Jerusalem and for a fulfillment, and then he uses the term, a fulfillment of this promise of the Father, which occurred at the arrival of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, in His New Testament ministry on the day of Pentecost. We find that in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And then again, we see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. So, since both the omnipresence of the Spirit, Psalm 139, and the many mentions of His active ministry in the Old Testament demand that the Holy Spirit was present on earth before Pentecost, what is meant by the references to His coming and arrival at Pentecost? Now, the answer is clearly that the Spirit was being poured out in a new and a greater New Testament or New Covenant ministry. Remember, testament, covenant, there's also the term of pact. In Spanish, we'd use the term pacto, which is a contract. And so those terms speak of the same thing. This new ministry is associated with additional blessings for New Testament believers individually, and also with corporate empowerment for New Testament churches. And that includes us. Old Testament prophecies of the New Covenant Testament predicted a greater role for the Holy Spirit under that New Covenant or New Testament rather than the old. And we saw that, we read that in Ezekiel. I won't take time to read that because I need to get to moving on this. So, the precise nature of all the distinctions between the Old and the New Testament ministries of the Spirit, we know that they're not 100% clear, and some of the details are a matter of friendly discussion among people that are smarter biblically than I am, but it's clear that important distinctions do exist. And then we finished last week by clarifying at this point that salvation is not affected by any of this. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in drawing folks to Christ and into faith with Christ, salvation has always been by faith, Old Testament, by faith, New Testament. Okay? If you can kind of paint a word picture in your mind or a picture in your mind, the pulpit area being the cross, okay? And then you have before the cross, you have the Old Testament period of time from Genesis 1 all the way through the cross where Christ pays the ultimate price for sin and He satisfies that payment, okay? And then from the cross on, Old Testament, by faith, looking towards the cross, okay? I trust by faith in what will happen. Okay, then you come to where we live, or from the cross on, then you're looking back at what Christ already did. Same faith, it's just headed in a different direction. It's pointed to the same place, to the same individual, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen? So, same faith, nothing changes there. The Holy Spirit has always played a role in salvation. No one could ever be saved without the convicting role of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is very clear about the Spirit of God drawing a person that is lost. You say, well, Brother Dan, I don't fully understand that. Let me clarify something really quick. And this used to beat me up, and I've said this maybe once or twice. It bears repeating. I used to beat myself up thinking this, that anybody that crossed my path. Let's say I'm out in the store and somebody walks in front of me and I'm a believer and that individual is not a believer. I don't know that, but let's say I suspect that they're not a believer. I used to feel that their blood was on my hands if I didn't open my mouth and witness to them. How many can identify that without a show of hands? How many can identify with that? I used to feel that way. And that guilt actually worked against me witnessing more. Because I became less and less worthy. I became less and less effective for the cause of Christ. And it used to tear me up. I took it seriously. But let me help you with something. Okay, go to the book of Romans if you would, and I'm going to show you something that helped me. Again, I don't know everything. I'm learning just like you learning, and we're learning together and we're growing. I grow every day in Christ. I grow every day. And if I quit growing, that would scare me. Okay, that would frighten me. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, we find the Bible saying this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." We're seeing that played out before us in a very blatant and open way today. It's always been this way, but we're seeing it very open today. So it says, "Because that which was that which may be known of God. Now, how many are aware that the Bible was written quite a bit ago, right? Amen? Okay, so the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is what? Manifested or demonstrated in whom? Who's them? The unrighteous. That's right. The unrighteous. For God hath done what? He showed it to them. There's not a person on the planet that can claim that they did not know. Somehow, some way, God has showed it. Because I used to have this thought, well, what about the native whatever nationality in whatever remote part of the world? What about that guy who has not received yet? We haven't had an American missionary go and tell him about Jesus. Because only American missionaries go and tell people about Jesus. I'm being sarcastic. Yes, you're right. What about that person who has never heard? And it used to tear me up. And it might have torn you up too. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. I can't go to every place that every missionary comes and advertises. But this covers that guy too. For the invisible, verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? They're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are what? That are made. So just from what we see of things that are already made, invisible things of God are clearly understood, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Now, that doesn't relieve me from responsibility of telling others about Christ. But what it does is it focuses this thing on the one whom the Holy Spirit leads me to speak to, because he's already gone before me and prepared that heart and done the drawing unto Christ. Okay? That's what changes things. So that's where my responsibility lies. There's no way in the world that I can tell everyone about Christ. When you're at work, they don't pay you to witness. They pay you to work. And if you're there and you say, well, bless God, by cracky, I'm a child of God, and I'm here to be a representative for Christ, and I'm going to witness, you're not going to last very long, and you're going to get hungry real quick. God has placed you in this world, yes, to be salt and light, but what you do is you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and his working in your life and in their life. And listen, it works. I've been there. I've been in the factory. And I've applied myself like God has asked me in his word to apply myself. And without me saying one thing about who I am and where I go to church, I'm not against that, but I'm just saying, without saying that, they would come to me and they would ask me, where do you go to church? I never said anything about that. You don't have to. It's evident, or it should be, in your life. And you'd be amazed at the conversations that I have had loading trucks, working on an assembly line, feeding toothbrushes at Oral-B. I led a lady to Christ. And when the machine stopped, she prayed. Hallelujah. It can happen. It can happen. Where God has placed you, okay? It can happen. It just changes things. All right. So, salvation by faith. And I took the time to clarify that, but also it changes the way we witness. Okay? You no longer have to beat yourself up. That is a lie of Satan. God is bigger than you and me. This is what happens. When we think, if I don't tell that person about Christ because they walked in front of me, they're going to die and go to hell. Oh, you're that important? I mean, you're all that? That's what has to happen? Actually, God is bigger than that. He's bigger than you, and he's bigger than any of my faults and failures, too. So what he's done, God has built into this whole thing. Backup system after backup system after backup system after backup system. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. And even as you get into the tribulation, he's got yet more opportunities so that when the end comes, no one can look and shake their fist at God and said, it's your fault that I'm here. No one can say that. Because we have been afforded every opportunity that you can imagine. It's really a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. So, we have additional blessings. Under the new covenant, Scripture is clear that the indwelling of the Spirit is synonymous with salvation. No one can receive the Spirit who is not yet saved, and everyone who is saved has the Spirit from the moment of salvation. No one who is saved can lose the Spirit. Okay? No one who is saved can lose the Spirit. Remember, we talked about the Spirit being the third part of the Holy Divinity. He is God. So if you can't lose your salvation, you can't lose the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but what? In the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, remember we talked about the different names of the Holy Spirit. One of his names is the Spirit of Christ. Because if you have Christ, you also have the Spirit. He is none of his. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at quite a few verses this morning. But it is purposeful to do this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby or with which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So there is a way to grieve the Spirit. We don't lose Him, but we grieve Him. How do you grieve Him? You do what you want to do. Instead of what he has asked you to do or prompted you to do or nudged you to do. You can use any of those terms if you'd like. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 16. The Bible says this, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And we can get into explaining all that, but I'm not going to get bogged down with that today, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 16. John 14, 16 says, and I will pray the Father. Christ spoke these words, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. However, there are clear passages that indicate all of these statements were true in the Old Testament era. The following thoughts, then, should be considered in understanding the distinctions between Old and New Testament ministries of the Spirit. Number one, the Old Testament promised a new and greater ministry of the Spirit under the New Covenant or the New Testament. One specific promise in Ezekiel's prophecy of the coming of the New Covenant is the indwelling of the Spirit. And we find that in Ezekiel chapter 36. So, one of the first distinctions that we see is that promise of the new covenant is the indwelling of the Spirit. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. The Bible says this, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Verse 26, "A new what? A new heart also will I give you, and a what? A new spirit will I put with you." Who does the putting of that in you? Okay? So be careful with this repentance thing, because there is some of that doctrine going around where they take it to a different level, and they almost lead you to believe, if not lead you to believe, that you have to change before you can be saved. You didn't have it in you to change before you could be saved. You don't have it in you afterwards to change after you're saved. He who does the work in you is the Spirit of God. Amen? According to the Word of God. This is not according to the church. According to my opinion, he says, "I will put a new heart, I'm going to give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." It doesn't get any clearer than that. He takes that stony heart and he yanks it out of our flesh. "And I will give you an heart of flesh." What? He's going to take out that stony heart of flesh and he's going to give us a heart of flesh. That means 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Behold, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Amen? And that work he does in us. Oh, wow, this is just wonderful. I can't take time, but you have the verses, Jeremiah 31, 30, 31 to 34. We read those last week, and I must hasten. Jesus promised, number two, a new and greater ministry of the Spirit after his departure from the earth. You know the verses. John 14, we read John 14, 16 through 17. What we didn't read is John 14, 26, where the Bible says this. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." And we spoke of that. Also, you have John 15 and verse 26, where he says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Chapter 16 and verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Christ is speaking. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged," he says. And then, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he's going to guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever," or "whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." So the Spirit gets it from the main source. He gets it from God. And he will show you things to come. And then, I love this, "He shall glorify me." Even the Spirit glorifies God. So you know that if you're in a place where the Holy Spirit is being exalted above measure, the Holy Spirit is being promoted beyond what he is comfortable with, the Spirit himself, he doesn't glorify himself. He glorifies the Father. Okay? He does what the Father wishes. "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." I love these verses. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. Okay? So number next. All the promises that the Spirit will never leave the believer are where? They're in the New Testament. All the promises. Number next. Jesus promises, future tense, to send the Holy Spirit to every believer, and that the Spirit will then abide with us forever, John 14, 16 and 17 that we read. This great promise of Christ would be meaningless if all believers were already given the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit before the promise. So my time is up, and I hate that because I didn't get far enough. But we'll keep on this and get it done. It's better that we understand rather than just plow through something. Any questions before we pray? Any questions or confusions or anything like that? I hope I didn't confuse anybody this morning. I love the Holy Spirit. I love Him. I love Him. He is here to help. He is here to teach. He is here to guide. He is here to direct. He is here to comfort. He is so much in a believer. And we rest in that. Okay? We rest in that. And I love that. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the added blessing of the permanent indwelling of Your Spirit. And thank You for the role that the Spirit plays in our life. Holy Spirit of God, we pray this week that You would use us for Your honor and for Your glory. And Holy Spirit of God, as You draw men and women and boys and girls unto You, if it be Your will, may it be in our path. And that You would guide us to open our mouth and have the privilege. Because, Lord, we know that it's just a privilege to be able to talk about You to someone that needs to know Christ as their personal Savior. Use us this week. In Jesus' name, we pray for the service that is to follow. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You'd use our pastor as he teaches us from Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you in just a few.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant. Streaming, and the rocket's red glare.